time comes when silence is betrayal. For we are deeply in need of a new way beyond the darkness that seems so close around us. And if we will only make the right choice, we will be able to transform this pending cosmic elegy into a creative psalm of peace. We will be able to transform the jangling discords of our world into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. We will be able to speed up the day all over America and all over the world when justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream.
Hey, I'm glad you're here today. It's a special day at First Baptist Cleveland because today is Compassion Sunday. You know, we just sang about the power of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus. And I'm reminded that Jesus not only saved us from something, Jesus saved us for something. And when resurrected Jesus came back and he talked to people like us, he talked to the church, he gave us what is called the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. This is what Jesus said our job is on planet Earth. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." You know, when Jesus tells us our job, he says our job is to make disciples, to share the gospel, and to teach other people what God has taught us. He told us as the church, our job is to be on mission, living for his mission, and that is the Great Commission. And so listen, you're a part of a church that believes in the Great Commission. And you're a part of a church that is living on mission with our yes on the table, always looking for new opportunities to be at the tip of the spear, whatever God is using to bring hope to the ends of the earth. We do that across the streets, across the states, and across the seas. When I say across the streets, I'm talking about right here at home. And this church last year, we gave $1.2+ million to missions. A lot of it stayed right here in Bradley County through Mission 423, through our jail ministry, through Go Love Serve, through our local mission effort, through Hands and Feet and other organizations. You are a part of a church that's making a difference with the gospel right here at home. Also across the states, you're a part of a church that's planting churches in other parts of America. Some of the hardest places to reach people in this country, we're a part of church plants that are establishing gospel-centered church locations where families are sharing the gospel with their neighbors. And it's awesome to see what's happening. You're also a part of a church that's doing that across the seas. And we are always looking for new opportunities to make a difference across the seas. Last year, we started a new ministry in Alexandria, Egypt. We have 14 new partnerships over the last 12 months. And every time you give a dollar at First Baptist Cleveland, understand that a portion of that goes to support over 4,000 international missionaries and their families that are represented through our cooperative program. And so this is a church that believes in missions. And guess what? We don't apologize for that. We want to go on mission, we want to give to missions, and we want to support the things that God is blessing around the world. When I said that we live with our yes on the table, what that means is this. If God tells us to do something, we're ready to do it. Can you say that today? Like, if God tells you to do something, are you ready to do it? Do you have a gospel mindset? Do you see the world like God sees the world? Because when I read the Great Commission, this didn't just apply to the disciples of Jesus's day. This applies to you, and it applies to me. And so the question I want us to begin thinking about today is, am I prepared to do what Jesus tells me to do and to be a part of what God calls me to be a part of? That's what Compassion Sunday is. This is bringing ministry opportunities to us individually, not the church collectively, but us individually as a part of the church, giving us an opportunity to be the tip of the spear that's making a difference around the world. Recently, I was in Kenya, and I had the opportunity to meet my Compassion Kids. We sponsor two of them in Nairobi. And through that opportunity, the Lord gave us as a church the opportunity to do far more than one family could do by ourselves. And so instead of me standing up here and talking about it, you're going to have to watch me on a video talking about it. And I want to show you a couple of kids in the meantime. Check this out.
If I'm being honest, my first impression of Compassion wasn't that good. I don't know why, but for some reason, at first, I was very skeptical of Compassion. And I've sponsored Compassion Kids for well over a decade now. But if I'm being honest, in the back of my mind, every time I would write that check, there were always those lingering questions in the back of my mind. I thought, you know, what are they really doing with my $38 a month? I thought, are these even real kids, or did they just get pictures from Google? I thought, is there real ministry actually taking place as a result of this sponsorship? I thought, is this really the best way that I can invest my additional offering to the Lord each month? Well, let me tell you, God quickly changed my heart and radically changed my perception of this ministry when I had the opportunity here recently to fly to Kenya and meet my Compassion Kids personally. The second I laid eyes on Jibril and Zakia, it's like a switch was flipped in my heart. And for the first time, I understood how important those $38 sponsorships really are. I just think that we have a hard time in America thinking about the reality that kids are born into on the other side of the globe. I've seen where these kids live, and I've seen where they're growing up. They are living in extreme poverty. These kids aren't complaining about slow Wi-Fi. They're not talking about how unfair life is because they don't have the latest iPhone. Listen, these kids don't have access to clean drinking water or doctors or medicine. Some of these kids are living in mud huts using bags of trash for pillows at night. These kids can't afford to go to school. A huge contingency of kids in Kenya are orphans today. And the many kids with parents are still having to rummage through the garbage in order to stay alive. That's no exaggeration. I saw firsthand how my family's partnership with Compassion was truly making a difference, and it changed my life. The $38 we give each month provides food for these kids and food for their families. In fact, I hand-delivered a box of food that weighed over 50 pounds to Jibril's mom and another box to Zakia's mom. 50 pounds of staple foods like beans and rice and flour and sugar that would feed their family for an entire month. And both of these ladies received that food with tears streaming down their cheeks, completely overwhelmed and beyond grateful. I saw firsthand how our sponsorship also provides the tuition that's required for these kids to go to school. You may not realize this, but school isn't free in most places on earth. And in Kenya, if you don't have enough money for tuition and if you can't afford a uniform, then you're not allowed to attend. Well, a portion of our $38 sponsorship pays what's required for these kids to get an education. It also puts godly people and a gospel presence in their community. I think a lot of times we take that for granted here in the Bible Belt. In Kenya, they don't have a church on every corner like we do. Kids grow up never hearing the name of Jesus. Well, right now, they are growing up without hearing about the hope of the gospel. And that alone ought to break our heart. That alone ought to move us to action. Listen, because of what our church is doing and because of our partnership with Compassion, there will be a gospel presence in this village and in their lives. I had the privilege of meeting a couple of those Compassion workers that were recently placed in Kenya. And let me just tell you, these are some amazing, gifted, godly people. And it's our sponsorships that are going to keep them in that community. And it's going to provide a place where these kids can go and hear about Jesus. Compassion meets these children and their families at their point of need. And this organization is committed to sharing the gospel and the hope of Jesus with every single one of them. And you know what? We believe as a church that the gospel still changes lives. That's why we've got to act. That's why we've got to give. That's why we've got to go. I think about the Lord's command to His people in Deuteronomy chapter 15. In verse 10, He was talking about those who were poor and those who were in need. And He said in verse 10, give to him and don't have a stingy heart when you give. And he goes on to say, and because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in your work and in everything that you do. In verse 11, he says, I am commanding you, open your hand willingly to the poor and needy brother. That's what Jesus has commanded us to do. That's what he tells his kids to do. He said, have that kind of generous heart. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, he tells us once again, don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. You know, my prayer is that our church won't neglect to do what is good, and that we will make those sacrifices with compassion in our hearts and do what we can to help deliver hope to this community of people in Kenya. My prayer is that your family will join our family in doing your part. Listen, God will be glorified through us in Kenya.
You know, my first thought when I was in Kenya visiting our Compassion Kids was, man, I wish we could put our entire church on a bus, drive across the ocean, and then I realized buses don't cross the ocean. But here's the thing, we can't bring the whole church to Kenya. But I did have the opportunity to meet several people while I was there, and the Lord worked it out where we could bring a piece of Kenya back to Cleveland. And so today I'm going to introduce to you a friend that I met while we were in Africa, and her name is Maureen Owino. And I want you guys to put your hands together and give her a big First Baptist Cleveland welcome. Come on up. Welcome, Maureen.
Thank you.
Awesome. Have a seat. This is Cleveland, Tennessee. We call this the hub of the universe. And so I want to welcome you to Cleveland. And it's awesome having you here in America. And, you know, for those who have never been to Nairobi, Kenya, I want you to give us a snapshot of where you grew up. Give us an understanding of your family and your life before Compassion came into the story.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. I'm a mom and a wife, mom to two sons, and my husband is Oliver, and we were both sponsored with Compassion. So life before Compassion, I grew up in the third largest slum in Kenya called Kariobangi Slum, and life in the slum, it's hard, it's not easy. My mom and dad, we were six of us, my mom, dad, and four of us children, and we lived in a small 10 by 10 cubicle. I think maybe probably the size of smaller than our closets, some of us here. And so it was partitioned with a curtain where my parents would sleep on this other side and us on the other side, which we call the living room. And we didn't have a bed. So at night we'll take our tattered clothes and spread down. So the walls were made of iron sheet, and the roof was also made of rusted with iron sheets with holes, and the floor was made out of mud. So the hardest times were when it rained, and you know, we had to stand in a corner and wait for it to rain, and even when it stopped to rain, we could not go back to sleep because the floor was wet. And even when we were sleeping on that floor, you know, there's rats, there's cockroaches and everything running all over us. So it wasn't easy. Life in the slum, there's nothing like a bathroom. We used what is called a flying toilet, where you take a plastic bag and then release your waste in that plastic bag, swing it, and then let it go. Wherever it lands, that is where it's meant to be. So if you are walking and it lands on your face, that is where it was meant to be. Yeah.
Wow.
There's no clean water, there's no running water. So whatever was clean to us, we could not afford because it was put somewhere, it's like a piped water put somewhere, and you have to pay for it. My dad was a casual laborer earning $10 or less than $10 a month, and our rent was $6. So that was not going to be enough to support us the whole month. So food was our greatest problem. We'll go for 4-5 days without eating. And if we had to eat as a family, it was rotten food that we picked from the trash cans. That is what we'd bring home. And sometimes it was raw. Bring home and eat. There's a lot of harmful liquor brewed in the slum, a lot of drug addiction, backstreet abortion, a lot of bad things, you know, rape, left, right, and center, bad things happening in the slum. A slum is a small area which is densely populated with people. And so it was hard, and I was so, so bitter with God because of the kind of suffering that my family and I were going through. And so many are the times that I wish that I would kill my whole family so that we come out of the suffering that we were facing. We could not afford school fees because in Kenya we were paying for school fees. So we were on and off. So many are the times we were sent home and we stayed home. We didn't have uniform. We didn't have all the basic needs that basically we were just surviving. If you live in the slum, there's no hope. And for me, I define poverty as tremendous lack of hope. People in the slum live on now, today. You ask them about their future, they don't know. You ask them, what will you take for dinner? They don't know. You ask them, what do you want to do in future? They don't know. They survive on now. So it was a really, really hard situation.
You know, there are a lot of problems that are connected to poverty. You said food was the number one problem. But it seems like hopelessness is probably the number one problem. There's a lot of people that are growing up where you used to live, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of hope. It just seems like when you're living there in that existence, and for you and your family, there were six of you living in a 10x10 dirt floor, rain coming through, no food to eat, starving to death. I mean, was hopelessness a big problem with your friends and your family member? Was that something that you thought of a lot?
Yes, it's a life full of frustration, and I think it's like poverty is a bondage. And everybody else, we are like the same, we are going through that. So everywhere you go, it's hopelessness. So there's no like rays of hope or light. It's all about darkness in the slum.
Yeah, and compassion really was the hope, the light that you got to know as a small girl. And just for those of you who don't know, compassion's all over the world. But in Nairobi, Kenya, there is the third largest slum, and there are millions of people. I don't know if we mentioned that or not, but literally millions of people living in this small area on top of each other. I mean, there are people everywhere. Hopelessness is a problem. But talk about how compassion changed that for you and how you were introduced to hope through the ministry of compassion.
Can something good come out of Nazareth? And can something good come out of Kariobangi slum? Yes, it did. And I saw that. I'm a living testimony. I'm so thankful to God for Compassion International because it brought hope. Compassion partners with a church in the slum. And I remember my mom was told by a good Samaritan about this church recruiting children. And my mom came, pulled me out, and we went. And people were there queuing from 5 a.m. We went there at about noon. The queue was so long. And I thank God because I was malnourished. I was so thin. And I remember someone pointing at me, maybe because I was the way I looked, and my mom was ushered to the front and asked a few questions. Then we went home a few days later. Somebody came home and then told us that, you know, I got an opportunity to be sponsored. And we thought it was all about food because that was our major. You know, you can't perform even in school on a rumbling stomach. Actually, I used to be the last student in class because I could not concentrate in class with a rumbling stomach. You cannot, you know, it was just a dark life. So when I was told that I got an opportunity, I was so excited. And we all thought that every day we'll be getting food. And we thought it's all about food when I'm in Compassion. And I thank God because it is at the Compassion Project that I came to realize and learn about balanced diet, where there is food with starch, you know, carbohydrates, vitamins, proteins. That was a vocabulary in our home. You know, I didn't know anything like that. And so every Saturday was Christmas to me because I was sure of taking something in the morning. I was sure of eating a balanced diet. And so many other times that I pretended that I was not full because I would carry a plastic bag with me and go for a second and a third plate and put it in that plastic bag because yes, I've gone to the project, I've eaten. What about my family that we go days with? And I would take. So they were also looking forward to Saturdays. And I also thank God for compassion because they gave me the best thing. That even if I die today, I know I have eternal life. They gave me salvation. They taught me how to pray. They gave me my first Bible and taught me how to read the Bible. And I love this God so much because he reminds me that I'm not forgotten. You know, the moment I received him in my life, and we would go home, and the days we didn't have food, we'll still gather on the table, hold hands, and say, thank you, God, we don't have today. But tomorrow I know you'll provide something. Amen. It's only because I had received hope, the hope of Christ. So I'm so grateful to God for that. And then the second thing that compassion gave me were my sponsors. The sponsor who chose, you know, I can only imagine, I don't know if they were walking, and or they were somewhere, or they were in a church, or where, and something was spoken about compassion and they chose to pick a packet or it was online. And they took that packet and decided to sponsor me. I've never met them and I don't know if I'll ever meet them, but they brought hope to me. They changed my story. God used them to change my story because they provided for my school fees up to the university level. They provided for my uniform. And the most amazing thing and the neat thing about compassion, when they recruit one, actually the impact is felt in the whole family. And in future, it goes to the whole community because whatever I received, I shared with my family. And, you know, the school uniform, school fees, and my sponsors were the first people to celebrate my birthday. I had never celebrated my birthday. And they will send money for Christmas. And as a family, we will celebrate Christmas. And I remember we had a relationship and we communicated through a letter. And in the letter they wrote, Maureen, we love you. We are praying for you. You are so beautiful. I didn't know that I was beautiful. Nobody had ever told me that I was. And I hated myself. And my parents never told me. But somebody somewhere that I had not met told me that I mattered and I was beautiful. And they continued and say that we have a picture of you in our refrigerator. I didn't know what a refrigerator was. I had to go to my social worker and ask, and you know, they had to explain to me about this box that preserves and cools food. And they continued in the letter that poverty does not determine your future. It shapes it. And right now it makes sense because poverty never determined my future. It shaped it. And I'm so grateful to God for poverty because number one, I know him. Number two, my sponsors taught me about generosity and I'm living testimony that you can give and your tap will never run dry because when you give, he keeps adding and adding. And so my husband and I, we sponsor our children because if my sponsor lived far away and decided to sponsor, maybe they didn't know what poverty is. They don't smell poverty. What about me who stays right there? So I have an opportunity to sponsor children. And the most, you know, with my sponsors giving to me, I believe that to whom much is given, much is expected. And as we are here, I'm just imagining what would have happened to me if I was not sponsored. What story will have been said about me? What shame will have engulfed me? And that is my prayer today, that even as, you know, they only did this because of their yes, saying yes, and being obedient to God. And my prayer today is that people are going to be obedient so that my brothers and sisters in the compassion projects in Kenya and all over the world are able to get an opportunity to receive the same hope that I receive, and they are able to give to other people. That is my prayer.
That's awesome. You know, one thing that I heard about your story the first time I met you that was so impressive to me, it's not that Jesus met you at your point of need through compassion and saved you and made your life more comfortable. You know, like we said earlier, Jesus saves us from something, but he also saves us for something. And I love how God has revolutionized your life. He's taken it in a whole nother direction, but now you're using that life to make a difference in other people's lives as well. I want you to share with us about your ministry and how you're investing in other people's lives in Kenya right now.
Yeah, so the first thing that I also did, I was able to move my family out of the slum. They no longer live in the slum. Unfortunately, I lost my mom, my dad, and my sister, but I was able also to educate my other siblings. But currently, God has called me to a ministry. I'm working for Mercy House Global, and in Kenya, we call it Rehema, which is a Swahili word for mercy, where we rescue young, poor, pregnant girls from the streets and slums of Kenya. These are girls age 15 and below, who are pregnant either due to rape, incest, or survival prostitution, and the only option they have is either to procure an abortion or commit suicide. We are a Christian ministry, and the only option we have is Jesus Christ. We rescue them, and we just give them love and try to transform and empower them in Jesus' name. So we keep them for a period of 2 years before we reintegrate them home, but reintegration is a case by case, and we ensure that after that, they are able to go back to school. We also reach out to poor women. We believe in giving work that gives dignity, and they are able to provide for their children. So we, as an organization, we rescue a girl, empower women, and redeem a generation in Jesus' name.
And awesome. And right now, you have how many ladies?
Thank you. We have 68, so I'm a mother to, apart from my two sons, 68 daughters and 68 grandchildren. I'm a grandma.
Isn't that awesome? So, man, that's just an awesome, yeah, absolutely. Let's thank the Lord for that. That's just an awesome story to me, how God met you at your point of need, 7 years old, through compassion, how you came to faith in Jesus, how he's redeemed that story, and now you're living an incredible testimony where you're pouring into 68 young ladies and their 68 children, and man, that's just awesome, isn't it? When I heard that story, I was like, man, we've got to get you to Cleveland to share your story, because it's awesome to see how God's used compassion to really catapult your life into a whole new trajectory. Let's just thank the Lord for Maureen and her story one more time. Amen. That's so good. Hey, here's what I want you to hear today. God uses your generosity to make impact in other people's lives. He does that when you give to the church, by the way. When you give your tithe, according to the scriptures, we give back 10% of what God's entrusted to us, and we trust that God's going to use that 10% to build his kingdom and to accomplish his mission. He's doing that around the world through missionaries around the world, but also right here at home. So let me thank you for giving. Listen, we haven't passed an offering plate in this place in over 2 years, and the Lord has continued to grow your generosity so that we can increase our ministry and make a greater impact through your giving. You can see on the screen, there's several ways that you can give. If you're in the room, you can give at the blue boxes at the entrances. But I encourage you, if you haven't started giving unto the Lord, take this as an opportunity to start becoming a generous person and give to the Lord what the Lord tells you to give. I promise you, he blesses faithfulness, and he blesses generosity, and he blesses obedience. And so as a saved, born again, child of the King, I believe there are expectations that he has of us, and generosity is one of those things. And so let me encourage you to give. You can give on one of those ways, or you can give in person. That is a tithe. But I also want you to start praying right now about your offering. And an offering, according to scripture, is always above and beyond your tithe. And God gives you certain opportunities throughout your life where he flips a switch, the light bulb comes on, and you can see, if I invest an offering into this, God's going to get glory. If I invest an offering in this, God's going to use that to do something God-sized. And I believe through sponsoring a kid through compassion, I just believe that that is a worthwhile investment as an offering. Today, you're going to have the opportunity to sponsor a child in this village in Kenya. And my prayer is that today we can sponsor hundreds of children through individuals in our church. This isn't the church doing it on your behalf. This is you as a member of the church saying, I want to be at the tip of the spear. I want to be a part of what God is doing in Nairobi, Kenya. And you're going to have that opportunity today to sponsor a child like Maureen, like my kids, Jabril. I mean, you're investing in real people with real needs that are going to have a future that I pray God will shape and use like he's used in Maureen's story. So let me pray for our church as we have generous hearts today and having the heart of God as we think about this opportunity. Father, today, I pray that you will be pleased when you look at our heart. Not our actions, not our words, but our hearts. God, you tell us to bring into the storehouse what belongs to you. I pray we will be found faithful as stewards of the gifts that you've given us. God, let us not withhold giving to you what you've asked for. Let us give freely. Let us be people that are truly surrendered to Jesus today with open hands, not closed fists. Let us not hold on to the things that we're wanting to hold on to. Let us release those things to you and trust you with the abundant blessings that you've bestowed upon us. And God, I pray that you would use these gifts. Use our tithes today to make a difference for your kingdom. And use these offerings and these new relationships and these new mission opportunities in a way that only you can. God, thank you for including us in your redemptive work on planet Earth. And I just pray that you would do far beyond anything that we could ask, think, or imagine. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen. What a privilege to be loved by our perfect Heavenly Father. And what a blessing to be able to partner with him and to be called by him to take his hope and the love that we've received around the world. And the fact that we could be here in Cleveland, Tennessee, and a bunch of us nobodies could tell everybody all about somebody that saved our soul. It doesn't get better than that, does it? And so we've been singing this song. We've seen God make this true in our life for so many days and really over a year now. So let's together celebrate what Jesus can do in us.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line. All the other not quites, all the never get it right. But it turns out we're the ones you've been looking for all this time.
Today, they'd just see Jesus in us, and they would experience the love of our good, good Father. Let's continue to worship the Lord today.
Oh, and I heard a thousand stories of what they were thinking.
loving us too much to leave us that way. And thank you for allowing us the blessing and be able to partner with you to share that love with the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's crazy to me that we in Cleveland, Tennessee, 8,000 miles away from Kenya, can think of 500 kids right now that are signed up for Compassion International, ready to go, but are waiting on sponsors. Waiting for people like you and like me with our yes on the table to say, God, I'm willing to be a blessing and to carry your hope to these kids that desperately need it. And not only to them, but to their families. They're waiting for families to respond to the call to provide, not only for their needs physically, but spiritually. There's so much waiting in their life. You know, once you decide to sponsor a child, in 7 to 10 days, they receive word that not only are they registered, but they're officially sponsored and they'll be able to begin the program. But until that day happens, they wait. But then finally, the waiting is over. And so we've got a video that really just kind of takes you along that story and shows what happens when the wait is over. So turn your attention to the screens.
Nama saya Halena Astipora, umur saya 8 tahun. Saya tinggal di 5 saudara dan 2 orang tua.
Mama, saya tidak bisa menentukan juga, tapi sebagai orang tua kami bersalah. Kami juga tidak mampu untuk melayani atas bersalah kepada Tuhan. Waktu itu, tetapi saya lebih memilih ketika pendekatan oleh gereja untuk melayani anak-anak, dan di situ saya lihat kemuliaan Tuhan bahwa lebih luar biasa kita melayani anak-anak daripada kita memikirkan hal-hal duniawi.
Susahkan kita ini, walaupun bikin rumah begini itu beban banyak karena arisan ya kita, tapi belum tutup sama sekali arisan ini. Dan saya terus Asti bilang, jangan terus mama. Saya lega pikiran, saya bangun cium sama anak, Asti bilang sama saya. Dan saya cium sama dia, saya bangun, saya tidak terus sekarang, saya aman-aman sekarang.
Saya di PPA paling suka buku cerita karena rajin membaca.
Berikan kepada mereka. Terlebih lagi Helena itu anaknya, kalau saya lihat selama saya mengajar, anaknya pintar dan priang, ceria. Dan sering tidak bolos masuk PPA.
Pertama, saya merasa bangga sekali, Pak. Karena proses perubahan, kita melihat dari penampilan mereka. Karena apa yang kami lakukan, bukan hanya dengan kata-kata, tapi perbuatan nyata. Baik, terima kasih. Fungsi papan data anak untuk mengetahui anak-anak yang terdaftar di PPA, berapa seluruhnya, berapa yang dapat sponsor, dan berapa yang belum punya sponsor.
Waktu teman dapat sponsor, saya sakit hati karena tidak dapat sponsor.
Tiap kali dia tahu sama saya bagaimana saya dan anak-anak yang lain sudah dapat sponsor, saya belum dapat. Dan saya mama berdoa juga, tapi saya tidak pernah dapat. tumbuh anak tidak mungkin. Nanti Tuhan yang akan saya bilang gitu sama dia.
Tiga, empat bulan ke depan bahwa anak-anak ini akan memiliki sponsor melalui tangan-tangan Tuhan untuk menjamah hati para yang punya, yang bisa peduli kepada anak. Tuhan akan memberikan yang terbaik buat keluarga ini. Ada sukacita, Asti, keluarganya Asti mendapat sponsor, dan ini surat dari sponsor yang buat Asti.
Ini juga tidak banyak. Ini yang sponsor.
Boleh Asti.
Terima kasih banyak. Bawa anak saya baik. Saya kasih masuk TTA. Saya hari ini saya bangga sekali. Tapi Tuhan yang balas. Saya tidak mampu balas. Tapi Tuhan yang balas. Tidak pernah saya mimpi bahwa sponsornya Ati hari ini ada. Tapi saya bangga sekali. Sehingga saya jatuh air mata. Terima kasih banyak. Berlimpah-limpah.
Mereka, anak-anak itu merasa dekat dengan sponsornya, dan jadi ketika mereka menceritakan isi surat seperti itu, anak-anak merasa luar biasa bahwa itu tidak bisa dibayangin seperti itu.
Menjadi sponsormu.
Mungkin pikirnya ya sekedar komunikasi saja, tetapi lebih daripada itu, kedekatannya lebih dekat sekali. Dan saya berterima kasih kepada Tuhan yang bisa memberikan sponsor kepada anak sebagai anak dan bapak. Dan saya berterima kasih kepada Compassion sebagai jembatan yang dapat menghubungkan yang ada di seberang bisa menjadi satu. Itu kebanggaan saya, dan saya merasa senang sekali.
So right now in Nairobi, Kenya, I've got two kids that we sponsored, and they are in a village where literally hundreds of their friends are waiting for someone to sponsor them. And my prayer, just so you know, is that today our church would sponsor 500 boys and girls so that we collectively as a church can serve that community, and that we can raise up a generation of people that know that their hope comes from Jesus. Think about this. What we're doing is establishing hope in the hearts of people that are hurting. I can't think of a greater thing to do than that. Because they understand that their hope isn't in food, their hope isn't in money, their hope isn't even in a relationship with another person in America, their hope is in Jesus. And we get to be the hope distribution arm from Cleveland, Tennessee, to show them that Jesus can make a difference in their life, just like we've seen Jesus make a difference in your life. And so think about this opportunity today. The good thing about this is we as a church, in taking over a village, we not only get to give $38 a month to help feed them and pay their tuition, but we get to put a gospel presence in their community. We get to partner with local churches that are preaching the gospel to them. And we get to work through our international mission program here at the church to have multiple mission trips every single year to Nairobi, Kenya, which means that we have opportunities to go on mission trips serving our Compassion Kids and seeing where they're at, building long-term relationships with them. We can write letters, we can send pictures, we can celebrate birthdays, yes, but we can also be the hands and feet of Jesus in their own backyard. And that's my prayer, is that we'll have many mission trips every single year for many years to come, and that we'll have a long-standing relationship with the people that God's going to connect us with even today. And so let me just explain what's going to happen next. In just a moment, you are going to have the opportunity to to stand and to sponsor a child. You're going to have the opportunity to say, my yes is on the table, and for Alvin, I want to sponsor Alvin. I want to be his person for the rest of his life. Or Jacinta, I want Jacinta to be a part of our family. And we're not only going to give $38 a month for her to be, you know, to have nutrition, we're going to share the hope of Jesus with her, and we're going to be pen pals with her, and our kids are going to write her letters. That was our goal in having two. We wanted to have one for our son and one for our daughter so that they could grow up knowing I have a friend in Kenya that I'm going to invest in and I'm going to encourage. And my prayer is that they really grow up with a different perception of the world and a different understanding of how they've been blessed uniquely. And that they won't squander that, and they won't feel entitled to more of that, but they would say, man, God's put me in a position where I can make an impact in somebody else's life. And I want my kids to grow up with that understanding that we should have gospel hearts and gospel minds, and we ought to see the world like Jesus sees the world. And when we see hurting people, and we understand that God's put us in a position to help meet those needs in the name of Jesus, then we ought to jump at those opportunities. Because we know that God saved us for such a time as this. Listen, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Another word for required is the word expected. Much is expected by God. I don't know about you, I've been saved by the blood of Jesus, but I haven't just been saved from sin, I've been saved for something. And my life should be on mission for Him. So today you're going to have the opportunity to do that, to be the tip of the spear, to adopt a kid about 8,000 miles from here, and hopefully make a huge impact in their life. Little Travis. Hey, Travis needs a sponsor. Anybody want to sponsor Travis, right? I mean, so you're going to have the opportunity to do that. In fact, I'm going to ask our team if they would come up here. They're going to come up here with packets. And I'm going to ask you to trust, number one, that we've prayed over every single one of these kids. Number two, we've asked that through the sovereignty of God, we would be able to place the right children in the right homes. And we're going to trust that God would uniquely partner you with the right person so that you could build a relationship and share the hope of Jesus. And understand what we're asking you to do today. We're asking you to go on a life journey with a child on the other side of the globe and to establish a relationship. For those of you who are wondering, it is a tax-deductible contribution. But for me, beyond that, I understand that $38, even though that's a little more than a dollar a day, that's a huge sacrifice for some people here. Now, let me just say, I believe it's a sacrifice that is worthwhile. It's a sacrifice I believe that the Lord will bless in a unique way. You've already heard the scripture and what it has to say about that today. And so for some of you, I know this is a step of faith to give you an additional offering above your tithe. But let me remind you what it says in Hebrews, and that is, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He calls us to walk by faith, to give by faith, to give sacrificially. For some of us, this means we're going to eat out one less time this month. But for that kid, it means they get to eat food this month. And so put it into perspective. And my prayer is that we would have a gospel mindset today, and that we would make this a part of our personal mission. This isn't the church doing it on your behalf. This is you having the opportunity to be the church and to live out the Great Commission in your own family. And I believe by standing and saying, sign me up to sponsor a kid today, I think that's a great example, moms and dads, especially for our kids, the kids that live in our homes and look to us really to model what the Great Commission is all about. And so I'm going to pray, and when I say amen, I'm going to give you the opportunity to stand, one per family, if you would. And if you want one child, hold up one. If you want two children, I want you to hold up two. And you can hold up as many fingers as you want. But my prayer is that we would be able to sponsor 500 kids today. And that's going to take all of us thinking God thoughts today and trying to have a kingdom mindset. So let's pray together. Father, I pray that our generous hearts in this moment would reflect the generosity of your heart. And I pray that we would see the world like you see the world. Help us to understand how this moment could be a game changer and really a life changer for people that you love, people that you created, and people that you call son and daughter. God, I pray that this would be a moment in our life that you continue to shape our hearts and continue to grow us closer in our walk with Jesus. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to trust you and to follow you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. you have the opportunity to sponsor a child right where you're at. In fact, you can do the entire thing digitally today by sending the word Kenya to the number 83393. I'm going to say that word, that number again, because you've never heard that number, because it's not coming directly to the church. This is going directly to Compassion. And so their number, once again, is 83393. And if you'd like to be a part of this project with First Baptist Cleveland, send the word Kenya to that number, 83393, and we can do this whole thing digitally. But man, I'm just reminded that in 7 to 10 days, like Eric said a second ago, 500 plus kids are going to have that moment where someone looks them in the eyes and says, guess what? The wait is over. The wait is over. And you have a sponsor from Tennessee on the other side of the globe who loves you, believes in you, and can't wait to have a relationship with you. Man, you guys are awesome for being the tip of the spear, for being a part of this. I can't wait to see how the Lord blesses these efforts and how he continues to expand his kingdom as a result of it. Think about what Jesus said. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And he said, I'm with you always to the very end of the age.